Hello, and welcome to the UX Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Worthington. The goal of UX Hustle is to help UX designers design the career they love, maximizing the benefit of this multifaceted industry and strong community. We talk about what's really going on in UX and what it's like working in it, and interview people that are actively navigating their careers and UX. We don't expect to have all the answers, but we do keep searching, keep listening, and learning. Because at the end of the day, you are the user of your career. Hello, and welcome to the UX Hustle podcast. So today is a solo episode, and I saw an article a couple weeks ago about imposter syndrome. Maybe you saw it floating around LinkedIn with some comments from a lot of different people around it. And so I wanted to talk about it. And I wanted to talk about my experience in finding it, in, you know, my reflection and my experience with imposter syndrome, and what some tips for how you can deal with imposter syndrome if you're starting to feel that way too. So to start, there was this article that people found on Medium. It was published in 2021, and the title of it is "You Have Imposter Syndrome Because You're an Imposter." And I stumbled upon this article from comments from Joe Natoli, who's been on the podcast before. Hi, Joe. And saying how, you know, that's not true. And if you're feeling like an imposter and you're feeling like you have imposter syndrome, that doesn't mean that you're not good enough. That doesn't mean that you can't do UX design. That doesn't mean that you're not valuable and worthy and all those other things. And I got really fired up about it because I feel really strongly about imposter syndrome and fear as a whole. And I called up my fiance and I told him about this. And as soon as I said, "You have imposter syndrome because you're an imposter," he burst out laughing. And I just want to acknowledge that, because I think so many times, especially when we see things on the internet and we're just responding off the energy of other people, and that's not a bad thing either, to respond off of other people's energy and to kind of let ourselves feel that way of feeling angry and outraged. And it's just really nice to have someone give a different perspective that is totally different. That's a totally different perspective of, this is so ridiculous. And I know UX isn't exclusive in this. It's the internet as a whole of when we see things and people giving hot takes, and it's a lot. It's a lot to respond to. So I just wanted to acknowledge that experience and lend that out to you if that helps. If, you know, the next time you see a hot take or something, regardless of the validity, sometimes when you just read a headline like that, you just have to laugh, and that's okay. But I also want to acknowledge the other side of, if someone stumbled upon this article when they were feeling particularly impostery, particularly filled with fear and doubt and self-doubt, I just want to acknowledge that experience too, of a hot take like this, an article like this, can really further put someone down the rabbit hole of, am I really good enough? Am I on the right path? Should I just give up? And I want to encourage you that that's okay. That's okay that you felt that way. It's okay if you feel imposter syndrome sometimes, because imposter syndrome is a human experience. Like, having imposter syndrome doesn't mean you're an imposter. It means you're a human. It means that you care about the work that you're doing, you care about your performance, and you want to do a good job. And also, it's so hard to gauge yourself Can we just acknowledge that? It's so hard to gauge how you're doing. I deal with this all the time. As someone who's relatively new to user experience design, someone who has their own business, who like is on this podcast and chooses to hit publish every week, and someone that is working to be more visible on social platforms and just in general, I butt up against imposter syndrome frequently of feeling, am I good enough? Is it okay for me to talk about these topics? Should I do more research? Should I, you know, read books and articles and, you know, increase the depth of my knowledge before I go and talk about certain topics? And even when I have guests on, you know, how much research should I do? Did I prepare enough? Did I ask the right questions in the right order, in the right way? And that's okay. It's okay that those feelings come up for me, that those thoughts come up, that those things mean that I care about what I'm doing. I care about how I'm showing up for you, the information that I'm putting out for you. And that's all important. Now, when it comes to imposter syndrome, I was trying to break this down because the argument in this article is that, you know, the reason you're an imposter is because if you had the tools, skills, knowledge to be able to do the thing that you're trying to do, then you wouldn't feel like an imposter. And we know that's not true. Like, we know that's not true. Through our own experience, no matter where you're at in your career, whenever you're going after something new or different or a new opportunity or putting yourself out there, even just a little bit outside of your comfort zone, you're going to feel that imposter syndrome come up. And, you know, can we just take a moment? I like the specificity of calling this imposter syndrome, but I also think there's value in calling this fear. Fear comes up. Fear is part of our human experience. When we're trying to break into a new career, break into a new promotion, a new job title, a new income level, those are things that are outside of our comfort zone because those are things we haven't done before. We haven't been in those places. And our brains see that new novel experience and looks for how it could be negative and wants to protect us, wants to protect you from the dangers, the potential perils, the unknown on the other side of that fear, on the other side of, you know, whatever action it is that you're wanting to take. The fear of rejection, which we're very connected, community-driven animals, people. Like, we care about other people. We care about what other people think of us because that's part of our survival, is being included and being with other people in community so that the odds of our survival is better when we're in groups versus being ostracized and being by ourselves, which is what rejection can feel like. And so when we're tackling applying to a job, breaking into a new industry, hitting publish on a podcast episode or an article, we're afraid that other people are going to reject us. Our brains immediately go to what's the worst case scenario and then talks ourselves out of doing the scary thing that would put us out there. And that's a natural phenomenon. That's naturally what our brains are meant to do. I saw a quote recently that said, you know, your brains aren't designed to keep us happy or to make us happy. They're designed to keep us safe. And sometimes our happiness is on the other side of breaking through, doing the opposite of what our brains think is safe in order to put ourselves in that position to achieve our goals. Now, is there a valid concern somewhere in there with people applying or accepting promotions that they aren't qualified for? And maybe, I mean, yes, I guess, but that's not imposter syndrome. Like, there's something in there about if you feel imposter syndrome, you're probably not putting yourself in that position of thinking that, of being underqualified. And I just want to go back to, like, the way we see ourselves is different than the way other people see us. I was talking to a friend, Marisa, about this last week, that some days the distance, the gap between how I see myself and how, like, my favorite people see me is so wide, and I can feel that. And that's where imposter syndrome lives. That's where that fear lives of, who am I to be doing this? Like, I don't really know what I'm doing. All of that. And then there are some days where I catch a glimpse, and sometimes it's longer than a glimpse, where I see myself the way my favorite people see me. And that gap is nothing. And I can step into that. I can own that. I can feel that. And over time, even when I feel far apart between the way I see myself and the way my favorite people see me, I know that over time, I'm actually squeezing those two extremes closer together over time. But even when I've worked on this, I don't want to say trained, but it kind of is training. Like, you're flexing a muscle there to get those two extremes closer and closer together, to where you're able to tap into how other people see you a little bit more readily. And every time I do that, it helps me see myself more clearly. And in this article, the person gives an example of getting offered a promotion and turning it down because they didn't feel they were ready. And I think that's really interesting, because what that means is that somebody else saw your potential, saw your ability, saw the things that you were doing, the way you were showing up, and said, I think you're ready for this next step. And instead of stepping into that, instead of trusting that, you said, no, I'm actually not ready, not worthy, not whatever the story was, to be able to step into that role. And I just think that's so interesting, to not only question your own skills and value and ability, but to then take that a step further and question someone else's objective, I will say at least more objective, view of you professionally. And I want to take this article as a whole and say, wow, if someone is in that position where they really believe that anytime they feel imposter syndrome, that they really are an imposter, that's so sad. And there's something in this article, like, I wish at the end it had just been signed from imposter syndrome, from your imposter syndrome, because that's the tone of this. It's what imposter syndrome tells you. It's what would be written if imposter syndrome won, if it was right. If imposter syndrome was true, If fear were true, that would mean we were all imposters. And it reminds me of, it's a book about demons, about demons and how they try to take people over. Gosh, now I have to look up what it is. The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. That's what this reminds me of. It's the Screwtape Letters are letters written from a like junior demon on the ground trying to steal the soul of a person. And Screwtape is writing back and forth between himself and Satan. And it's talking through like their tactics. And I feel like that's what this is. It's like an article written from that perspective of this is what imposter syndrome is trying to tell you and trying to get you to believe in order to stop you from stepping into who you're supposed to be, into your next level, into, you know, for me, a lot of the time, it's stepping into being vulnerable, stepping into sharing my thoughts, sharing my feelings, sharing my experiences with you. And if imposter syndrome won, like ironically, as I'm recording this episode, like while I was preparing for this episode, I was thinking, who am I to be doing this? Like, should I really record this? Should I really publish this? And it's just really interesting because it shows how prevalent that fear is. And how we can't let it win. And that's not to say if you let it win occasionally that you're a terrible person, because you're not. We've all let fear win sometimes. But it's recognizing what that fear and what that inaction, or sometimes it's an action, that fear causes you to do. Like an example of that is in an argument. Sometimes I say things I should not in arguments with Will. And what I should really do is stop and listen and be willing and open to being wrong. But my fear of being misunderstood, of not getting my opinions out there, of somehow being manipulated by what he has to say, take over and sometimes prevent me from having that connection with him, from using an argument, using fear as an opportunity to have a deeper connection with someone. And so that's how I think of fear, especially in this moment right now, of if I let fear win, and didn't publish this episode, didn't even record this episode to talk about this, I'd be blocking somebody from hearing a part of this message, a piece of this message that they needed today. And even from a, for myself, not in a vacuum, but kind of I wouldn't flex that muscle of hitting publish anyway, of hitting record anyway, in order to connect with you, in order to put my hand out, like put my hand out like a handshake or a high five to say, I want to connect with you. That's what I'm doing in these episodes, is reaching out and saying, hey, how are you? This is what's going on. And I want to hear from you and hear how it's impacting you and your life. And does this relate to you? Are you feeling this right now? Let me know. And it's a way of connecting and creating community that wouldn't be there if we let fear in, if we let fear stop us from putting ourselves out there, if we let fear win, and if we actually believed it, believed the lies of we're not good enough. And so I wanted to end this episode with a few tips because I know a lot of this was like just talking about imposter syndrome and how it shows up and what it looks like. But I wanted to include some tips of things that have just helped me whenever imposter syndrome comes up. And so for me is to feel the fear, to let yourself feel just how terrible it feels. Feel the imposter syndrome, feel the fear, and then journal about how you're feeling, what you're really afraid of happening, what you need to feel safe and supported right now. And I've talked about Rachel Luna, who's my coach and friend and mentor, and she has an amazing journaling practice. If you go to Instagram at Girl Confident or at I Am Rachel Luna or I Rachel Luna, you'll see more information about this. But she has a three-step method of write, shift, script, which I highly recommend. It's a really great way to journal, to write out all your thoughts as they're happening without judgment. When you go through this process of really thinking, writing out how you're actually feeling, what you're really afraid of happening, and what things you need to feel supported and safe, is that you'll look fear in the eyes and realize that you have a lot more control than you thought, and that the chances of whatever it is you're really afraid of happening actually happening is pretty low. And you have a ton of resources and support and experience to back you up so that you can remember who the heck you are. You're a UX designer. You're a business owner. You're a leader. And when you step into that place and that energy of knowing who the heck you are, of saying it out loud, of writing it out in your journal a bajillion times, then you can make decisions and take action from that place. You don't need to make decisions from your imposter syndrome place, from your fear place. You can sit with it, you can feel it, and you can find different ways that work for you to shift out of that so that you can take the action that you want to. You can take the action that aligns with how you really feel about yourself, where you can bridge that gap and make the gap between how you see yourself and how your favorite people or your best friend sees you, and remove that gap so that they're aligned. And then you can make decisions from that place. So I hope this episode helps you. If you have questions about imposter syndrome, if you're feeling that way in your career right now, don't hesitate to reach out. You can find me on Instagram, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on email, and I'm happy to talk with you. I'm happy to be your hype person to remind you who you are, to remind you that you got this. So I'll talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to the UX Hustle Podcast. To continue these conversations, you can follow us on Instagram at the UX Hustle or join our Slack community through the link in our show notes. If you love this episode, please write a review and subscribe.